Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Hyphen American cuisine isn't as simple as making food from the country or region of origin, because cooking often involves incorporating your own experiences. And for those with an immigrant background, that becomes part of their cuisine. In today's episode drop of Mid-Pacific, Cap Radio's newest podcast hosted by Sarah Mises-Tan, we dive into understanding this balance when exploring something as broad as Asian American cuisine. And the answer is far from simple and has evolved across generations. Sarah joins us now to share what she learned along her journey. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Vicky. Good to be here.
Okay, so you start off with a cult classic that is now very mainstream, boba. When I was listening to your episode, I never thought of this before, but where did boba come from?
Totally, yes. So boba originated in Taiwan around the 1980s and then made its way over to the United States probably around the 1990s-ish. There's a lot of dispute over where exactly the very first boba shop in the United States opened. But I think one thing is for certain, the most high profile boba places, so your big, well-known boba chains, first opened and originated on the West Coast in California. And here in California, as a result, there is quite a lot of culture that's popped up around the boba shop. There's even a board game that came out around the experience of drinking boba in a shop, which is very meta, which I think is just hilarious and absolutely amazing. There's a whole culture around drinking boba. And if you're Asian American, I think you kind of already know that, so you don't need me to tell you that. And of course, it should go without saying, but I find boba to be just so fascinating because it feels like a truly Asian American kind of drink. Like, you know, it's not traditionally an Asian dessert, though it is inspired by Asian desserts and, you know, that tapioca chewy texture that you find in it. But, you know, you aren't going to like go back in history and there's going to be like an ancient Han Dynasty emperor sipping on boba, right? Back in the day, it's not that sort of dessert. It's pretty modern. So it's a newish dessert. It came over to America pretty soon after it was invented, and it really created this whole subculture of its own here. And that's what fascinates me about it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that dynasty with like the big straw or something like that.
Totally. Yeah.
So what role does this drink play just in the broader Asian American culture and identity?
I think, you know, as I mentioned, boba is in many ways this embodiment of being Asian American. And it is a drink that really caught on with a certain generation and immigration pattern of Asian Americans. In California, there is kind of a whole subculture that's been formed around boba tea and just hanging out at the boba cafe. You know, you go there and it isn't just about grabbing a drink. There are board games there and there's music. Here's Janelle Bitker. She's the food editor at the San Francisco Chronicle, remembering her very first time in a boba shop.
All these different colors and loud music and music videos on TV. And it was just really exciting. It felt like this moment in my life where like, oh, here is this Asian American space that is for especially young Asian Americans.
Yeah, and it has grown since then. It is now mainstream. So given that, is there a bittersweet feeling? And like in the sense of like on the one hand, there's this growing awareness and appreciation. You have this fandom around this drink, but there's also concern about appropriation and the authenticity behind a meal or product.
Totally. Yeah. So we do get into this in our episode as well. But yes, I'm sure these days most people in California are familiar with boba. It's gone mainstream. I think last year, Pete's did a whole campaign around doing their own version of boba. And I think that really struck a chord with a lot of Asian Americans because of the way it was rolled out. I know some people complained that when Pete's did boba, they called it the summer of jellies. So they didn't use the word boba. And there was no connection made between the fact that it was actually an Asian like creation or an Asian American creation, or just that it had Asian roots to it, which I think was kind of interesting to just like strip boba of its kind of like past and its culture and tradition, kind of rubbed people the wrong way. So I think that's maybe the bittersweet feeling. I think as it goes mainstream, a lot of people are worried about boba losing these roots and kind of boba not being something that Asian Americans could claim, quote unquote, as ours. And, you know, also, I think it's important to mention that boba is something that up until very recently, you know, it's a weird drink, if you know what I'm talking about. It's someone mentioned it as, you probably would like it if you like to chew your drinks. It doesn't look like what you would expect out of a tea. And so if you're unfamiliar with it, if you're a white American, you've never really tasted this texture before, it's unusual. And I think a lot of Asian Americans have grown up maybe being made fun of a little bit for drinking boba or liking boba. You know, I think a lot of the first response of maybe white Americans or people who are not familiar with this drink would be, ew, what are you doing? Which is like a visceral kind of reaction for Asian Americans. And so I think there's a bit of that wrapped up in it, too, is that like, OK, we used to be made fun of for drinking this. And now all of a sudden everyone's embracing it like it's normal and it's cool now. And it's cool because Pete's is serving it. So I think that kind of hits at those two conflicting feelings. Bittersweet, because of course, also, what are we all really looking for at the end of the day is assimilation and acceptance of our culture in this country. And hey, I mean, if Pete's is selling it, maybe on the other hand, you can kind of say, like, that's awesome. Like, the white corporations finally realized what was awesome about boba, and they like it and they accept us.
I mean, boba is like a symbol of a larger conversation that's taking place. And then you touch upon the generations. Like, I remember my mom telling me when she was a child, she'd be embarrassed with what my Japanese grandmother would have in the fridge, like octopus, you know, and this is like back in the 60s and 70s. But now that can be a source of pride, right? So like your Asian influences or immigrant influences, whether it's in your lunchbox or at home, that changes from one generation to the next. And these are all just examples, right? And it's evolved over the years. You spoke with a lot of AAPI chefs and others across the state about the food scene. What conversations are taking place today when it comes to the place that food has in Asian American identity and culture?
Totally. So I think the biggest conversation I'm hearing right now is an important one just around the stereotypes and expectations that we hold when it comes to Asian food. So from discussions with chefs about why it is that we expect certain kinds of Asian food to, say, be cheap, or why we assume that Asian people making Asian food in restaurants aren't chefs in the same way that we'd assume a white person is a chef if they were cooking, say, Italian food. And I think a lot of people I spoke with are really trying to break these ingrained biases that we all hold when it comes to Asian food, which is exciting. Jing Gao is the sauce founder of a sauce company called Fly by Jing. And I spoke with her. She mentioned how Chinese food is often not given room to evolve in the same way as other cuisines like French food or Italian food. And this matters because Chinese food is, like you were saying, Vicky, an extension of how Americans or outsiders view Chinese people or people of Chinese ancestry. She's very explicit about her sauces being not traditional but personal, which I love. She was born in Chengdu, China, but has lived and traveled all over the world, and her sauces really reflect that. And yet she says she still often gets complaints from people saying that her sauces aren't quote-unquote authentically Asian. Here she is.
We put things into boxes. Like, is this, you know, is this is not my experience of what a Chinese sauce tastes like, so therefore I reject it. You know, it's not real, or this is not what my grandmother made, so therefore it's not real. But actually, we all come to the table with so many, you know, preconceived notions. And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of show that it's, you know, it's because of some of these notions that, you know, for a long time in this country, you know, Chinese food was not allowed to kind of like evolve, you know, like people were very preoccupied with like trying to keep it in a box.
Yeah, that is so important. I mean, when people listen to the podcast episode today, they're going to listen to a range of Asian American influences from Indian to Chinese, Taiwanese, a Korean American chef. You know, in the last minute or so that we have, was there a bigger message really that you learned from all of these conversations, even as someone who identifies as Asian American yourself?
Totally. Yeah. You know, I think it's that there is no real definition for what is Asian American food. I also think there's maybe a some dislike of the word fusion food.
Right.
I think we all need to be mindful of the expectations that we have for Asian food, because I think even Asian people and Asian American people have certain expectations that can keep it in a box. And I think just like Asian American identity, Asian American food is a forever evolving idea and topic, and we got to kind of give it room to do that. And I love that. I love that there is no definition of it.
Yeah, just thinking about that, what we heard from the creator of Fly by Jing. I mean, it reminds me of the first episode of Mid-Pacific when you're talking about Bruce Lee and the title of your podcast, Mid-Pacific.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. Asian American food is not Asian food. It's not American food. It is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. And food tells a story.
Totally.
And a beautiful and one yummy one at that when done well. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vicky.
That is Sarah Mises-Tan, the host of Cap Radio's podcast, Mid-Pacific, which explores Asian American identity in California. New episodes drop on Thursday. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minotta. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Chris Feltz. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We will catch you back here on Monday.